when it comes to intimacy and really knowing someone's character, the boardroom is more intimate than the bedroom.
I would contest that apart from marriage, there is no more significant or impactful relationship you can enter into with another person than a business partnership. There is no other relationship that will have the same impact on your finances, on your relationships, on the time you spend. It's not the same, but it's pretty dang close.
Hi, I'm Steve. For nearly 30 years, I've been a pastor and disciple maker, and what I really love doing is helping guys be better followers of Christ and better leaders at home.
I'm Mark, a certified financial planner with an MBA and an Ivy League degree who wants to make sure you're making the smartest money decisions possible.
And this is Abraham's Wallet. Join us weekly and create a culture in your family of multi-generational prosperity, spiritually, relationally, physically, intellectually, and financially. Run your home, your dough, like a biblical boss.
Today, we are going to peek in on a conversation that I had with a dear old friend here in Cincinnati named Lucas Cole. I've known Lucas for almost 20 years now, have a lot of experience with him. He's on the board of an organization called Arise for Israel. They are typically doing work for economic strength in Israel. Right now, they are focused on working towards freeing the hostages that are in Gaza. I have been to Israel with Lucas. He's part of a Bible study that I'm part of, and I have had many casual and serious conversations with Lucas about business. And the reason that I'm having him on is because so many of us want to start businesses. We want to have legal undertakings. And we really don't want to go that alone. We want to have a partner with us, which we'll hear here in a moment, is a biblical idea. But there are pitfalls attached to that idea. And Lucas's experience makes him uniquely set up to give us some counsel on the traps to avoid when it comes to creating partnerships. And our heart is just that you would succeed as you are pursuing any kind of business undertaking. So, without further ado, I'll throw it over to the conversation I had with Lucas Cole. You know, I was thinking about you and thinking, Lucas, you and I are both a strong drink of water. And amazingly, we've never locked horns. How have we gotten along for 20 years or however long we've known each other?
I think it's just we've never been on a podcast together.
Okay, now you have such an interesting background of how you got into the position that you're in, and it actually has to do with the topic of partnerships. By way of introducing yourself and perhaps introducing the subject, tell us what happened with the company that you now manage, run.
That's right. That's right.
I was trying to think of a more colorful verb, and what you do now. Because okay. I think it's very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So the reason why I think you tripped up over what to call what it is I do, because it's not really common right now.
Commandeer.
That's right.
Something like
that. I am the CEO of an employee-owned business. Yeah. The way that came about was in 2020, my partner, Daniel Armstrong, and I, who had worked together in said company for many years, had a mutual respect for each other. We offered to purchase the company from the existing ownership. We purchased the company, and then very quickly, we sold the company to the employees through what is known as an ESOP, an employee stock ownership plan. It was a whirlwind. It was a roller coaster. We went from trying to turn the thing around to really quickly being able to sell it for what turned out to be a really good return for both of us. And we were tried and true partners for about 12 months. And now we just manage the company together in the employee-owned thing that it is.
Your company that you have yet to name.
No, I was just going with it. It's called Epifio. There's no reason to keep it secret.
It was founded on a partnership, correct?
That's right.
Can you divulge any details of that partnership and whether there was any problems with the formation that set them up so that you were able to swoop in?
Yeah, in my experience, sometimes we do things, we make decisions, we behave certain ways, and hindsight can look like, what the heck, why'd you do that to me? But we're all just trying to figure this crap out. So a lot, I don't think there's maliciousness or whatnot. I think everybody who's involved with the story of Epifio would say it was a complicated partnership from day one. And for many of the reasons that whatever wisdom I've gained from partnerships, I gained from observing and being a part of and learning the hard way through a lot of these kinds of things. And so, yes, there was four partners at the beginning of Epifio. They were all friends, brother-in-laws, mentors, mentees, right? So all of the things that you can think of that would make a partnership really complicated, it was all there in these four. And I think it's a good example, too, of the power of partnership. This was a powerful partnership. These guys worked really well together for a time and were all super smart, and they added a ton of value to this venture.
All did different things, which is what you're looking for.
And you had four, let's say, type A people that all had unique visions for their own lives and for what they wanted for the company. And ultimately, that made things very tricky and very complicated for the partnership. So yes, when Daniel and I came along, two of the original partners weren't a part of the business anymore. Two of the existing ones were. And I think it made sense. I think they saw that it was probably time for some new owners to step in. There was goodwill there. And so, you know, it worked out.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but one of your ministries is helping other small business owners, being a lookout guru, a guy who's been there before and help people. You've certainly given some great insight to me. Is that true?
Yeah, that is true. When I got to a place where I had some open time and I started thinking about what the Lord would want from me and what I can give to the body, I was like, I don't know. I'm not like a super gifted spiritual teacher, but I do know a thing or two about business. And a lot of the people that I know tend to be drawn to that. And so I'll see how much I can help. And I just make myself available to guys and best I can.
That is amazing. I would like to pause at this moment and say that, one, the Cincinnati community is lucky and enriched to have someone like you who would do something like that. And secondly, we talk about the kind of end result of a lived life ends in eldership. And this is one of the forms that you're describing of eldership, which is, you just said it, I don't think that my main strength is being somebody's spiritual therapist, but walking them through business decisions is something that I can do for others.
That's right.
That is a massive benefit. I don't know. I feel like people who have received good business mentorship, I don't know that they trumpet it, but it's like the secret sauce of what they do.
Yeah.
And then they move on. And many times people will act like, yeah, I got us here. I got our company to this place or whatever. And I am happy to trumpet the fact that my wife, particularly, she had this impasse in the life of her event planning business. She met a guy from LA who had specifically shepherded event planning companies, and she went to him, had the humility to present herself, look into my books, look into all of my plans, give me your thoughts. And her business has done so much better since getting that oversight, because of the value of a level-headed third party looking under the hood and giving thoughts. So I just want to throw that out to people. There might be an accountant listening who's kind of like, what's the point of my business? It's very nuts and bolts. Yeah, people could really benefit from your acumen if you were to generously offer it to the body of Christ the way that Lucas is doing. Kudos to you.
Thank you.
And I and other people that I know well have really benefited from you. That's what we're trying to dial into, is some of your acumen regarding partnerships. I have suffered at the hands of many partnerships in my lifetime. And I'm always the kind of guy who, I don't know if this is a spiritual badge of honor or if it is a business-based badge of shame. But I'll give as a pretty easy, safe example. In college and then out of college, I partnered with a guy making music. We'd started making music. We got invited to do retreats. We started doing camps. We made records. Oh, we got a little thing that's going on here. And so it just, like many partnerships do, there was nothing on paper. It was just, we're just splitting things down the middle and taking it super casually. We fell out at some point, and in the kind of shoulder shrug of, gee, this stinks, this is painful, my move has always been take the low place. Just, I don't know, if somebody's going to get the short end of the stick, I want it to be me. I don't want to walk away going like, I beat them at the game. I outmaneuvered them. And so my partner, who I have a good relationship with now, but at the time, what happened was he took all of our bookings, he took all of our merchandise, and he rather continued on. And I just sat there in the mud and had to pick up the pieces and start over. What would you say to that kind of personality type that's sort of like, I bring what I bring, and if somebody else wants to outmaneuver me, if somebody wants to manipulate me, so be it, but I'm not going to be that kind of person.
Well, I would definitely encourage you not to get into a partnership with that mentality. There's a nuance to this, because this is actually something I've thought a lot about. The proverb says that a good name is better than gold. A good name is better than gold. And I have seen people do the opposite of what you just said, where they will exploit the partnership for gold. And then they have somebody that hates their guts out there, you know, telling everybody, don't partner with that person.
Yep.
So you have to be careful not to be that other partner that you described.
Hear, hear.
Right. But I do not think you should be the first. I think that you described as being, you know, self-loathing and what was me and all this.
I didn't,
you know,
say any of those words.
I think you said something like, well, I'll just let them manipulate me and I'll just let them, you know, get their way because by God, I don't want to, like, you know, ruffle any feathers.
I think my attitude has been, if there's going to be a manipulator in this relationship, it won't be me. And if somebody.
But that doesn't mean there has to be a manipulator.
Okay. Though. I'm all ears.
Okay. That's what I want to point out. You have value. And you are important to the partnership, and you should be compensated for that value that you bring. And to say, you know, in case manipulation happens, I'm not going to fight for it. I don't know. I think that you should. Now, again, all of this comes back to clear expectations up and whatnot. But definitely don't be the manipulator. Do not trade gold for a bad reputation. I've seen that. I've unfortunately seen that play out too many times. And while it feels like you win, you're not winning.
That's right.
In the long term, you're not winning.
Yeah. You and I both know some people who have been on the screwing end of, I'm going to win at this thing. And as you say about the good name scripturally, not only do I personally avoid these people, but when friends of mine even come into their stratosphere, you know, they're anywhere near them, I am quick to warn, stay away from this person. I don't care how interesting and pleasant they sound and their ideas seem so clever, stay away from them.
Oh, like, if you think about that, like the economic impact, not much less the spiritual impact, relational impact, community, the economic impact of, you know, everywhere you go, there's somebody that's trying to let people know not to work with. That is terrible. Really, really bad trait to win in one of your partnerships or two of your partnerships to compromise every other one you could possibly, you know, be involved in the future.
We have shared here on Abe's Wallet something that you and I have talked about before, which is the Jewish concept of a business community where everyone is referring each other. Everyone is, you're my first, if I need to buy shingles, you're the first person I'm going to call. And then I'm going to call the, if you can't do it, I'm going to call the person that you tell me to call. And the worst case scenario would be that I would go look online to find somebody to sell me shingles because we would prefer someone inside of our community. Now, if there's a strong network like that of business, of believing business minds and hearts, as you say, can you imagine the impact of somebody saying, you're an outsider, we won't deal with you, and we will steer people away from you? I think it's a really wonderful form of peer pressure that there's supposed to be an expectation of dealing uprightly with people to, as Psalm 15 says, to come through on your word, even if it costs you, even if it says even to his own pain,
yes,
he'll do what he said he would do, etc. So yeah, that's a huge thing to be, just be a man of integrity and follow through no matter what.
Well, and the opposite, if the economic impact negative of a bad name is what we just described, the positive economic impact of having a good name is huge.
That's right.
And, you know, one thing I tell people when they're entering into partnerships, specifically when they are not equal partnerships, okay, is whoever is the larger partner, your goal should be for that other partner to have the best partnership experience they've ever
had. Oh, that's cool.
A success metric for you, if not the most important success metric, is that person, whenever that partnership is done, is raving about, you should partner with this person. Right. If you set that, I think it properly orients you to, you know, what a good partnership will look like. And if you're not careful with that, then, you know, everything we just talked about can come to pass.
Just to throw a little sunshine on a brother, I don't know if Eric Black, he was one of the survivors / graduates of the whole Gladstone nightmare. And he is now a man who does everything. He'll do handyman work and electrical work. And heck, I think he'll even pour some concrete for you if you want. And the Liskeys had recommended him to me when I was looking for some job on my treehouse or something. And this dude came in on time, below budget, et cetera. And I'm tripping over myself to recommend people to him every chance I get, because he's, not only is he doing a great job, but like before he's leaving, he's going, on my drive home, I like to pray for my clients. You're just thinking, this is the greatest guy in the world. And so that kind of shine that we want people to have when they do business with us, I think that's God's will, that we would be, I think we glorify him when we do that sort of thing. Okay. Can we just revisit the musical thing? So when me and my old buddy, who we'll call Billy, even though his name was Ernest, Billy, once we start making money, do you think that we should have a contract between us?
In general, I would say yes. Okay. And maybe this is getting us into some of the things that I've learned about partnerships, is we tend, especially in our youth, we tend to see through rose-colored glasses and romanticize things. Yes, yeah, I've done it many
idealist.
Times as well.
You're talking about me, the idealist.
Everything's going to be fine. This is going to be amazing. Everything's going to work out.
They're going to be as upfront as I am.
Of course. Why wouldn't they? And I don't think that means we should look at the world through a pessimistic lens and expect everybody to screw us. But, you know, I remember this one guy we hired to do some consulting for us when things in the partnership started getting a little bit tricky with this company. He came in and he was just like, you guys have done everything wrong. You've done everything wrong with your partnership in terms of the legal side of things. And he said, the first thing I tell people to do when they're partnering is plan for divorce. And I was like, whoa, that sounds kind of harsh.
Yeah, you know, yucky. Like,
that sounds harsh. But there's wisdom in it. I don't know if I would approach it that way, okay? But there's a legal reality to partnerships that we don't think a lot about when we're making partnerships. We think about the relational reality.
I'm all ears. Start right, talking.
The relational reality is, you know, Steven and I are great friends and we're both musicians and I trust him and he trusts me and we both have great ideas. And those are all true. Okay, those are all true. That's part of the reality. But as soon as you decide to go into business together, there becomes a legal reality that we don't like talking about, right? Keeping in mind, there's a legal reality and a relational reality. And typically what happens is you come to find out about the legal reality when the relational reality starts to disintegrate. And then you realize, and this is what I've come to, this is the only one that really matters in the end, is the legal reality, okay? Because that's where the process is laid out. That's where the steps are taken. So if something gets really bad, well, what do? Right? If the relational side of the things can't...
You'll fall back on the legal side.
You'll fall back. Eventually, it'll come back. You'll be on some phone call where somebody will tell you, ultimately, this is what is going to happen. And you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't know about that.
I found a lawyer who told me, what?
There you go.
What?
That's why they exist, because at the end of the day, they are the mediators of this ultimate reality in business,
right?
Okay. And so the more clarity you can bring to the legal reality of the partnership up front, the better. Okay. Now, some people can go overboard with this.
Okay.
Where it's like day one, we start talking about doing something together, and all of a sudden I go hire a lawyer and I've got a 12-page contract ready to go. And I'm trying to, you know, that's a little unreasonable. I think there has to be some flexibility in the startup phase where we're not overburdening the venture with this legal reality. But if nothing else, maybe just for educational purposes, in any business partnership, in any business venture, there are three tiers of authority. And when we talk about partnership, we usually think about it all as one. Partners or we're not. 30%, 60%, which partnership am I, right? Well, there's actually three tiers of authority in any business venture.
Okay, hit me.
The shareholder tier is ultimately where our government says whoever owns the outstanding shares of a company has control of the company. Okay? All right. That's one level. How do shareholders control a company? That's the next level. That's the board of directors level. Okay? So shareholders vote their shares to install a board of directors. The board of directors actually has the governing authority of the business. They get to make the decisions in the day-to-day of the business. How do they do that? That's the third tier of authority. They appoint an executive officer, a CEO, somebody who has the authority to run the company. When you partner with somebody, you start doing business, whether you say these things out loud or not, the law has designated you in all three of those categories at some point. So if you say we're 50-50 partners, you're 50-50 shareholders, you own 50% of the equity, the other person owns 50% of the equity, you have not yet actually determined, are you both on the board? And if you're both on the board, do you have to unanimously agree to everything in order for that to work? These details are spelled out in a couple different legal documents. You've heard of articles of incorporation. Typically, the articles of incorporation spell out the shareholder relationship. Then you have the bylaws. The bylaws spell out the board of directors relationships. And again, you may be hearing this going, Lucas, who has time for all this crap? I mean, I just want to get to business. I'm like, get into a gnarly situation with a partner and you'll find out what these things are real fast. And you'll learn why they're so important. For example, I had a situation I was helping some friends through a gnarly partnership where it had worked for a while and it stopped working and whatnot, and they were 50-50 on everything. And so all of a sudden they come to a standstill and it's like, oh, what do we do? And so we started going back to the documents. They're 50-50. In the eyes of the law, that meant they were both on the board of directors. But at some point in time, they had named one of the partners the CEO of the company, which meant, for all intents and purposes, he could do whatever he wanted. He could fire the other partner. He could raise his salary. He could do whatever he wanted. And because they were 50-50 on the board, the other partner could never vote him off from that role. Now, that was the legal reality. And I remember in that moment when he realized that, and he was like, holy crap, what did I do?
Yes.
I'm like, yeah, this is crazy.
And so, gave away the farm.
That's right. And you didn't even know it because we're 50-50.
Yep.
I thought I'd always get 50%, but these control dynamics have a huge impact down the road. So the more you can bring clarity to that, the more you can say, for example, hey, I want to partner with you, but I would like to control the business. Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
Well, no, that's not okay with me. Okay. Well, at least we got that out in the open before we got into this, because if that's a goal of mine, or if that's important to me, then I need to be clear with you up front. And we should structure our documents to reflect that.
Right.
And now we're not shocked and caught off guard when that comes out.
Do you have any advice for people, an easy way for them to find a template for articles or bylaws? How can somebody that's all alone out in the sticks put that together?
Especially if you're just partnering with one other person, you can typically find a good set of bylaws or good articles of incorporation. They're very simple, right? But it's helpful to look through that because, again, you pull this template up and it says each share gets one vote and a majority. It could say a majority is an affirmative vote for an action. So what does that mean now? That means we have to agree on every single thing. Or for us, do we want that? And then I wouldn't overthink it too much. If go ahead and just make the change in the bylaws. Just go ahead and type it in there. Think about the legal reality as a framework on which that the relational reality is built. And so as long as you and I are clear with each other that this is how we're going to handle something, you can usually avoid the bottom falling out, right? If we just know that, hey, when push comes to shove, Stephen gets final say on these matters and I get final say on these matters. That's usually enough to clarify anything that could be kind of catastrophic to the business. So yeah, you know, go on Google, go on LegalZoom, get a template. If you're getting into a partnership with multiple people and you're putting money in it and that kind of stuff, then I would say hit pause, bring an attorney in, have them walk you through because they can walk you through things that you just wouldn't be able to even think about on your
own. That's right.
And so, for example, this is something else that I tell people, again, depending upon the level of partnership, the level of risk people are taking, whatnot, is if I want out of this business, how do I get out? If you don't spell that out, Stephen,
yes,
that can be hell to try to figure that out with people.
Right.
Right. That's a great question. How about this one? If I want you out, how do I get you out? Well, come on, we're friends. Why would we talk about that? You have to talk about this.
Right.
Because if you get into a spot where now your family's income is coming from this partnership and feel stuck, that will destroy your relationship so fast.
Yes.
Right. There's no perfect way, but those are the kinds of conversations that I've seen are helpful to have up front. So what's our ultimate objective? This is a huge one. This is one that I don't think people, I know myself included, have not given enough real, serious, honest thought to. When I'm partnering with you, what are we ultimately trying to accomplish together? Okay. Yeah, we want to be great and successful and lots of money and all that kind of stuff. But I found it's helpful. And one of our business mentors really helped us with this terminology. He said, at the highest level, there's kind of two big buckets of businesses out there. There are lifestyle businesses and there are scale businesses. And I have seen this, as broad of categories as those are, I've seen this become huge sticking points for partners. What's a lifestyle business? I want a business where I make good money. I like the people I work with. I like the work I'm doing. I have to work sometimes 40 hours a week, sometimes 20 hours a week. I have a lot of flexibility. I can go on vacation. I can name my own hours, all that kind of stuff. That's the kind of business I want to be a part of. Okay.
Okay.
The other partner is I want to take over the world. I want to be I want $50 million a year. I just want to grow this thing as fast as I possibly can grow it and then exit it and be on Forbes magazine, all that kind of stuff. That's a scale business. Neither are wrong, by the way. Neither are wrong. If one partner wants a lifestyle business and the other partner wants a scale business, it's going to cause all sorts of friction.
Right.
And so even just getting clear up front, hey, are we on the same page with our ultimate goals? And if not, that's okay. That starts to inform the question of, okay, well, how do I get out then? If we get to a point where I don't really like the trajectory of the business, how do I get out in a way that I don't, you know, get screwed and all of this time and effort I put into this thing is for nothing? You can come up with solutions. There are actually these interesting solutions out there for handling those kinds of things. But that's a big one that I see people miss up front.
Okay, so you're saying make things legally clear as soon as possible and articulate how do I get out and, to be blunt, how do I get you out?
And vice versa. How would you get me out if you
wanted to get me out would be a nice way to say it. Because, you know, the fact is, so I'm going to give you a lightning round in a minute where I'm just going to read Bible verses to you and I'm going to make you react to them from a partnership standpoint. But one of them is that when you talk about keeping your name clean and your name golden, if you're in cahoots with somebody who is, this is happening not with immediate friends of mine, but two steps away from friends of mine, somebody you know ends up on the news because of something that they're doing that's illegal, a marriage starts falling apart, somebody acts poorly, you find out that they weren't doing their taxes, and you're thinking,
was I supposed to keep it up with whether you're doing your taxes or not? All sorts of moral issues, et cetera, where we assume the best. I'm assuming the best with my friends, but I don't really know. I don't know what happens behind closed doors. A business relationship is akin to a covenant because they are wearing your name around all day long. And I've been snake bit on this, where people that I'm in business with come up as shady, and the people start asking me questions about my shady business partner. And I'm thinking, what? We just pooled money together to do something. You know what? You realize, okay, there has to be quick repentance here, or I got to figure something out. So I think it's a good and rational question that I probably would have run from asking when I was 25, but now at 50, I realize, no, those things actually need to be dealt with. When it comes to answering those, how do we break up questions, you think that should happen at the same time that you're forming the business, right at the beginning?
I think it's a great time to have that conversation. Now, I'll give you an example. A friend of mine was taking over a business, and his partner was coming up on retirement age. And as I looked through their bylaws, there was nothing in there about retirement. There was nothing in there about anything. And I started to ask questions like, what's his understanding? Is he going to retire and just hold on to his equity, and he's just going to get a check every year from the business? And my buddy was like, you know what? I don't know. And I was like, well, here's what I would recommend. I would recommend you say that if at any time either of the partners are no longer willing or able to work in the business full-time in their current role, the other partner has the opportunity to buy them out. And that process is very simple. We will take...
At the discretion of the partner that's going to stick around. They get to decide.
That's right.
Is that what you're saying?
If you and I are working, and then you come to me tomorrow and say, hey, I'm not going to be able to work here anymore, good luck. I would just be like, okay, well, now that you're not fulfilling your end of what we agreed to, I can buy your shares.
Gotcha.
And I said, now again, what we're going to do, it's going to be a very fair thing. We're going to take the trailing 12 months profit. We're going to multiply it by 3. And then that's the amount that you'll buy the person for. And you have 5 years to pay them that money at interest. And we'll decide the interest. Very simple, right? There wasn't a ton of calculus in there. It was very simple. Well, guess what happened? His partner came to him one day and said, hey, I'd like to retire. And there was no crazy weirdness.
Yep.
He knew, this is what I'm going to get. This is what we agreed to, all that kind of stuff. And my buddy called me, man, I am so glad that you told me that, because that would have been a nightmare. And it's just, it can be a very easy conversation. If at any point I want out, this is how I get out. And what are the conditions under which I wouldn't want to partner with you anymore? One of which, if you're not working here anymore, if you're not actually working here anymore, that's a trigger for me to be able to get you out.
Interesting. And as you say, if it was declared up front, I want this to be a lifestyle business, and as we're building this thing, my strong opinion is I want my children to have these shares when I'm dead and gone, then that can be discussed up front and negotiated.
Absolutely.
Around. But if it's unspoken, and anytime you have two different sets of expectations, things go bad.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And let me just, one more thing I want to say to that.
Yeah.
Another thing that I think is absolutely crucial that I would highly recommend, especially to this audience, to the believing audience, a conflict resolution process in the partnership, okay? A lot of standard partnership agreement templates will have a binding arbitration. I think that in the body, we should have a step before that. I think in the body, we should have a trusted set of people that we bring to. So when I came back to Epifio and took over as the CEO, part of my contract that I proposed to them was a process that, hey, if we ever got into a situation where we just were not seeing eye to eye, we were at a loggerhead, I will bring somebody that I trust, you will bring somebody that you trust, and then the two of them will agree on a third. And whatever those three people say about our situation, we'll submit to. And it was like, okay, now I don't know how that would play out, but at least we knew it. We knew that was in there. That was the process that we had agreed to. And even just knowing there's a process, Stephen, can sometimes remove some of the pressure.
Do you have an opinion about believers being, I'm going to use this word purposefully, yoked with unbelievers in a business relationship. Do you have any thoughts?
I think it's tricky. This is where I think business partnership can become like a huge word. I invest in some businesses where I'm like a 2% shareholder and I don't know who the other people are, right? That I don't know is a big deal.
Right.
If there's other, right? But am I going to like partner up and you and me are going to go and build this thing from scratch and all that kind of stuff and you and I aren't even on the same plane with values of fate? Yeah, I think you should really avoid that.
Yeah, right? I'm in agreement about that because I'll go ahead and share one of my verses. Do not, this is 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with dark? Now, that is usually applied to marriage, but my contention is that business partnership is a kind of covenant. It's certainly a kind of partnership. That's the language that's here in 2 Corinthians 6, is partnership. And so there is a stern warning about walking into those waters. And so I just want to throw out that the scripture says that believers don't take other believers to court. If you don't have any access to someone nearby that will help you, there are people like the Christian Legal Society that will do mediation for you, which has the status of a legal decision, but it doesn't go through the American legal court system, which is antagonistic in its very nature. It's an antagonistic system. But I also want to throw out, you're part of the Midrash that I go to, and part of our conversation has been the role of city fathers and what eldering does on a broad scale. One of those things that I strongly believe in, and longtime listeners probably have heard this sermonette before, but is the idea of in every synagogue, there was a group of three men who were set aside to settle disputes. And so you could come to, in any synagogue, you could say, I have issue with my brother. I think he owes me some money. He built his fence line, I think it was 2 feet across my property line. And I want him to tear it down or I want him to pay me for it. You go to this council at the synagogue and they judge between you and they act as, they don't pray about it per se, I'm sure they do, but it's more, let's just make a reasonable decision between the two of you. Now, I have put little councils together to judge between guys who've had these kind of issues. One, if I can just brag on a guy, one was a financial advisor who, it was a strange situation where his client thought that he had invested in something and he had missed the window of getting into this investment. And then the values went down and he bought in as soon as he could, but the returns weren't there. And I made a mistake. And the client is saying, you cost me my life fortune. And the guy's saying, it wasn't really fortune that it was lost. Here's what was lost. And they decided, let's present it to brothers and we will submit to their decision. And I was so proud of how these two brothers settled it because we had a court, we had a counsel, we met several times, we heard out both sides, we looked at receipts, we looked at all documentation, we made a judgment. And the judgment was somebody had to pay up to the tune of about $20,000. And a check was written within days, and it was settled. And they're in peace. And I was just, I had goosebumps for days thinking, this is so righteous what just happened here.
Yes.
As opposed to, I'm going to destroy you and all that stuff. So I totally agree with you that spelling out how mediation will work when there's conflict, that makes a lot of sense. And again, with my idealistic Pollyanna deal, I have been very lax at spelling out those kind of things.
Well, and I think you bring up a good point. As a believer, it almost necessitates that we do this because taking each other to court is not an option, or at least we could say should be an absolute last resort option, if it is even an option.
Yeah, it's beyond the pale.
That's right. And the reason I say that, Stephen, is because I've been in situations where, especially in business settings, sometimes if somebody does something, it's not only that it only impacts me. Sometimes it impacts employees, it impacts other things. There are times where you have to go, okay, maybe we do actually have to take this one to court because of that. But anyway, It should be a last resort for us.
Wherever you are listening to this, I think we're all trying to, or at least we would like it if it existed. We're trying to build a trusted network. We want other brothers to step up. We want other brothers to be awesome at business. We want other brothers to be awesome at leading their families. We all want this kind of healthy network around us. And many times we're just waiting for someone else to do it. So I just want to give a little word of encouragement. If you know a sharp gray beard around you, and maybe he's just you just know him as, I don't know, a faithful church attender, but you also know he's really sharp at business. When you come across a guy that you go, this is a sharp business mind, and I don't really have a need for him, but boy, I want him in the network. I want him in the net that I could pull on. I think it would be a great idea just to go ahead and say, hey, listen, Stan, you're so good at running your CPA firm. I don't have any present needs, but if I ever needed some kind of counsel for a problem that came up and I needed some sort of godly, level-headed wisdom, would you be willing to step in? Could I ever call on you on that sort of thing? And just, I like seeing this, I got this from Jesus, but I like seeing the network that we're in like a net, like a fishing net. And I'm just trying to reach out. I'm just trying to tie a little knot in that little connection there and say, Stan, could I call on you if I needed you? And Stan thinks about it and goes, nobody's ever acted like I was an expert at anything because I don't play a guitar and I don't preach. So they don't care about me. But I care about you, Stan. I'd love to have access to you. Yeah, I think I'd be willing to do that. Great.
And to tie it to partnerships. For you and your partner to agree on Stan.
Yes.
Hey, if we ever got into it, you know Stan? Yeah, I know Stan. What do you say we let Stan mediate for us? Okay, put it in the bylaws. Stan, we'll take our issue to Stan, and whatever Stan says, we'll agree.
That's great. That's great. This is a present issue, and my co-host, Mark Parrott, and I are talking about our financial firm recently, and he's going, my father passed a year ago. He's had some heart issues in the last year. And Mark is like, you know, one of us is going to die. And I was like, you filthy, dirty scoundrel, don't you ever say. And he's like, it's going to happen. Have we talked about succession? Is that really spelled out? What happens? Does one of our wives have the possibility of buying out the other one, you know, et cetera? And it will probably be contentious because,
that's
as
right.
You say, if you haven't defined how do we value the business, oh, there's going to be an arm wrestling match. There's for sure.
Absolutely.
Another helpful tool when you're doing partnerships, especially in the startup phase, is we are building a business because we want to succeed at something. We want to win at something, okay? And like anything else, if you're putting together a basketball team that you want to win the championship.
Oh, thank right? you for that.
Okay, well, I need a point guard.
This is speaking to my heart. I hear you.
You go. Keep going. That's right. You need a point guard, you need a center, you need a forward. You need all of those roles.
Yep.
And so oftentimes when we think about partnering, we're like, well, they're my friend.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Because we're friends. Can he play basketball?
Whoa.
You know, like, and I think about this on both sides of it. If he can't, don't partner with him.
Yeah.
Okay, because it's going to be a bad basketball team. Okay. If he's one of the best basketball players, then you'd be an idiot not to partner with him. Because some people are like, you should never partner with friends. I'm like, no. If you're a really good basketball player, get them on your team. Okay?
Great point.
But it's helpful to just make a little org chart. I know it sounds silly, but make a little org chart. In every business, I learned this from EOS. I'm a big fan of EOS. It's a management framework for running businesses out there. They say every business, no matter what, has 5 key functions.
Oh.
It doesn't matter what businesses they are. They all have 5 key functions. Sales and marketing. Somebody has to get the work. Operations. Somebody has to do the work. Somebody actually has to make the product or give the service.
Yep.
Finance and administration. Somebody has to hire people and make sure we're not losing money and pay the bills on time and all that kind of stuff. Those three. Then somebody has to make sure all 3 of those things are actually working together, that we're selling things for the right price because we're trying to increase our gross margins and all that kind of stuff. There's integration between those 3 things. We call the integrator. That's the 4th function. And then the 5th function is somebody has to decide where this thing's going, right? What's the future look like? What are the new ideas? How are we going to take market share? That's the visionary. So visionary, integrator, sales, operations, finance. Draw that real fast. And then just, if you're starting your own business, your name is in every one of those buckets. Okay, now you want a partner? Where do they go? Which one? Sometimes just putting it on paper makes it crystal clear.
Great.
Oh, I'm operations, but so I guess I report to you then, huh? Yep.
Right.
Comfortable with that? And then you can ask the question, is this person really good at that particular role? Would I hire them? They're not my friend, we're not partnering. Would I hire them?
Don't partner with a guy unless he can do it.
That's right. It's so simple.
You got to be able to do this thing. We're not going to partner together just because we like each other so much. We'd like to spend 40 hours a week together. If that's your issue, get into a pickleball club with them and do a league.
Start a fraternity.
This is right. Not hangout time. It's execute against a goal. So I really like this sort of, let's remove the romance from it. Let's just be level-headed about it. I keep thinking of me and a buddy had a lawn mowing business in high school. And we would like compete with each other to see how quickly and how excellently we could do the work. So it was a really good partnership and we made a ton of money doing it. But you think to yourself, would I have hired him to do that job? Absolutely, yes. He was fantastic at it. But I've also had things with buddies that like, we just really get along. And so let's hang out. And you're kind of like, I wish you would do it better. I wish you would do the thing better.
If you get pretty far into the partnership before you actually come to terms with that reality, it's going to be painful.
Well, probably destroy the once good relationship.
100%. If you look at those five categories, I am more geared towards integrator and finance and administration.
Okay.
So if I'm putting a partnership together and you're really good at sales and marketing, well, great, because I'm not, and we could really work well together. If you're really good at finance and administration and integrating, why we shouldn't partner.
Right.
Because we're not actually filling the gaps for each other. And so the more you come to understand about what your skills are, the more able you are to identify the kind of partner you want, right? And the kind of partner that will really, truly level up your game, because they will.
Right.
A good partner will level up your game. Daniel, who I partnered with in Epifio, he knows how to make videos. He knows how to make videos better than anybody I've ever met. He understands the world better than he understands creativity. He understands the mind of creatives, all that kind of stuff. So when we partner, I just said, dude, whatever you decide to do in that area of the business, you do it and just let me know. And then he was like, you know what? Gross margins and whether or not we should refinance this or that, whatever you tell me to
That's
do,
you,
I'll
baby.
Do it. That's right. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful when it works out, when you've done the work of structuring and identifying where the partnership
That's an excellent point. You know what? We've been dancing around this. What would you give us a 45-second ad about Epifio?
Yeah, Epifio is a 100% employee-owned video company. Our goal is to be the most valuable employee-owned video company in the world. We make short, animated videos, mostly for product marketers with complex product services and ideas. And then we make really long animated videos, too. We're making a movie. We won a
Amazing.
Movie deal a couple of years ago, and we're pushing hard into that now. So we are an animated movie studio as well, and our film is coming out in summer of 25. It's called Light of the World. It's a full-length animated feature about the life of Jesus
told
through the perspective of the Apostle John.
Wow. So let's say we've got some burgeoning partnerships listening to us right now, and they think, gosh, a little video that explains what our company does would be great to have on our website. We could put it on YouTube and blah, blah, blah. How could we get in touch with you to start working on that?
Epifio.com, and there's a little contact us button. You click that and reach out, and somebody will be in touch with you shortly. Epifio,
awesome.
Epiphio.com.
Okay. Don't partner with a dude that can't do the work. Find a partner that covers your weak spots.
That's right. So where that goes is the next part is compensation. I was in a partnership. There was four of us. And at the end of the month, whatever money was left in the bank, we split it up four ways and gave it to each other. And because we know that's how partnerships work, right? And then at one point, I realized one of the partners was selling about $1 million worth of work for our business. Busting his butt out there and all this kind of stuff. Another partner was a technical role. And I brought the partners together when I said, if this partner got hit by a bus tomorrow and I had to go hire somebody to do his job, I couldn't pay him what we're paying him right now. I'd have to pay him a lot more. Conversely, if this partner got hit by a bus and I had to go hire somebody, I would pay that person less than what I'm paying that person in the business. Okay. Cardinal rule of business. Don't mess with the laws of economics. If somebody's doing a job that you would normally have to pay somebody X dollars to do, that person's only going to do that job for a little bit until they go, why am I doing this? Okay, well, maybe the difference is you're converting it into equity. Okay, fine. That's a form of compensation, right? Conversely, I'm only going to want to work with you if you're making as much as I am, but I look at what I'm doing and I see it as way more valuable. And I mean valuable in the sense of true dollars.
Right.
Right.
Not how it makes you feel.
That's right. I'm going to get frustrated going, why am I making the same amount as this person? Everybody in the business, you should think about like hires, like you're hiring that person to do that job, because ultimately you want to get to a point where you're not doing that job anymore.
Yeah.
You're running business from a high level. As early as you can, starting to think of it that way. Again, I don't want to overcomplicate things.
Yeah.
But it's another lookout that if you're just splitting it up, at some point, somebody's going to go, I'm getting screwed here. And if you're not careful and you don't identify that too early or early enough, it can blow up the partnership.
So did you end up changing the way distribution worked?
Well, so what we did is we said, okay, inside of the business, we're going to pay everybody market rate for what they do, okay? And then whatever's left over, we'll distribute according to equity.
Okay.
And it was a very difficult, tough negotiation. Feelings were hurt. Some people didn't agree, but we finally got through it. And it literally saved the business. We could not have taken it to the next level without doing that.
Yep.
But yes, we had to fix it.
That makes sense. Okay, you ready for the lightning round?
Let's do it.
All I'm going to do is I'm going to read a verse to you that has to do with relationships and partnerships, and then you're going to react with what that makes you think of. Okay. Here's a classic. Ecclesiastes 4 explains the value of partnership. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their toil. And if one falls, the other will lift up his fellow.
Yeah. That's my partnership with Daniel. Totally trust him. He's a rock star. Without him, we couldn't have seen the success we've gotten. And conversely, I think one of the high points in my career, in my working relationship, was when, after we had sold the company, we had a little celebration dinner, and he was telling people that I was the only person he'd ever worked with that he felt like really truly put his interests above his own.
Oh, man.
And how it was the most fruitful partnership. And I remember, Stephen, I remember at that moment, hearing that was better to me than all the dollars that hit my account. And the dollars were great, but that was, and we had tears in our eyes. What you just said is the power of a really good partnership where you got two talented people that know how to work together, trust each other. And by the way, just to be clear, Daniel and I had very difficult conversations at the front end of our. We had very difficult, because I was going to be the majority and he was going to be the minority and I wanted to control the business. I had very clear expectations of selling the company, and I told him that I didn't want him to have the ability to block me from doing that. And so we had to have very difficult conversations up front.
Yeah.
Right. But we got through it. And because we had those, and because we worked really well together, and he could do the job and I could do the job, that proverb in Ecclesiastes rings true for me.
I love it. Man, when it comes to intimacy and really knowing someone's character, the boardroom is more intimate than the bedroom. We get to see what somebody's really made of. We get to see their true heart's desire. If there's greed in them, you'll see it. If there's manipulation in them, you'll see it. If there's humility in them, you'll see it. And I would just like to second the motion that for somebody who has been in the trenches with you, fighting side by side in business, for them to compliment your character, there is no higher compliment that can be paid. That's a great story. Okay, 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? or what fellowship has light with darkness?
You mentioned that we typically think about that in relation to marriages, and I would contest that apart from marriage, there is no more significant or impactful relationship you can enter into with another person than a business partnership. There is no other relationship that will have the same impact on your finances, on your relationships, on the time you spend. It's not the same, but it's pretty dang close. And so I think using the same wisdom you'd apply to a marriage in a partnership, it won't let you down.
Amen. Many people have walked into very painful marriages thinking, I will help fix this problem. This person is a problem, but I think that if I hitch my wagon to them, we'll straighten this thing out. That's a recipe for decades of pain. Similarly, thinking this person, they've had a bad record wherever they've gone. There's been hurt relationships everywhere they go. Everyone says not to trust them, but I think I see a unique side of them. I think I bring out something that somebody else doesn't bring out. And I think we're really going to fix this by them partnering with me.
And we don't need to talk about any of that stuff up front. Let's just get to the altar and let's solidify this
thing. We don't need to talk about your crazy past. Yeah.
No. Yes, you don't need to negotiate roles and responsibilities. We'll just headlong into this thing and everything's going
to
be great.
That's a great way to think of it, is that if I can apply this wisdom as well to that, which is we would say, be very careful and be very choosy about who you marry, but marry.
Agreed.
And we would say, be very choosy about who you get in a partnership with, but two is better than one.
Partner, baby.
And partnering is particularly in the community of faith. If you trust each other enough to go, let's lay it out. Let's lay out the legal terms. Let's lay out how we would break up. Let's put everything at this picture of vulnerability. And I'm willing to put my career on the line to go into partnership with you. But let's do it. Let's ink it and let's go in faith and hope. That's a wonderful thing. And as you say, be choosy. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another.
Yes. And in the same way, even the tricky ones, I can say I have been sharpened immensely by the partnerships that I've been a part of. Look, I'll freely admit, I'm one of the guys that other people are on podcasts talking about the crap that they went through with their partners. I was the bad partner at some point, right? Everybody I've partnered with probably has a list of offenses or a list of disappointments from me.
Yep.
Because we're all immature and we're all growing and we're all, none of us have it all and whatnot. And in the same way that a marriage showcases those things, gives you opportunities to strengthen them and all that kind of stuff, partnerships do it too, man. And you will become a better man for it.
Proverbs 12:26, last one. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. I don't know if you have war stories on this, but we have also found over the years that our clients, that is a kind of partnership as well. And the righteous choose their friends carefully. And we have just learned, and I'm not only meaning me and Mark in our financial business, I'm also thinking of me and my wife in event planning. Because if you want to know what a partnership feels like, get into a 2.5-year partnership with a bridezilla. And you'll see what that's like, okay? The righteous choose their friends carefully. We have found over the years that we could determine in a 30-minute meeting whether that person is going to bring a world of pain, frustration, and complexity to our lives that we want nothing to do with. So we find that there's a choosiness that has to happen, yes, with partnership up front, yes, with employees that you hire along the way, yes, with clients that you get into bed with, all of that stuff.
Yeah, this business stuff is not for the faint of heart, Stephen. You hit the nail on the head. It's clients, it's employees, it's vendors, it's partners, it's investors. There's a high degree of discernment that you learn to hone over time. You don't start off with it usually. You learn to hone it over time. And in the same way that you've learned about the woes of working with Bridezilla, I remember in my first entrepreneurial venture, we were doing websites and stuff like that for $5,000 here and there. And then this guy comes along, $50,000.
Can you imagine what we could do with $50,000?
And it just, blinders came on, man. And we saw the train wreck this was going to be. But boy, it was $50,000. And learned a very hard lesson that, to your point, clients can be as impactful on your business as anything else.
Hey, if you liked this content, be sure to like it and subscribe and share it with somebody. And remember, no matter how you're doing and leading your family, God's love for you is huge. And His grace is
Brandon!